Hey, what's happening, everybody? Eli Mooneyham here on behalf of NEO Sports Insiders, and you all have been talking a lot about the Cavs lately and the struggles. In case you haven't heard, the Cavs have not been doing too good as of late, 3-9 in their last 12 games, and we're going to try to solve some of your questions, some of your thoughts on the team. And with that, I bring in Emmett Golden of ESPN 850 WKNR. Emmett is one-third of the Next Level, along with Gerard Cherry and Matt Fontana. That airs weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, again on ESPN 850 WKNR. Emmett, how are we doing today?
Oh, we're doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'd love to have a talk that maybe a better one about the Cavs and, you know, maybe the 9-3 or 10-0 in their last 10, but that's not the case. They're 3-9, as we mentioned, their last 12 games. You go to a lot of the home games. What are you seeing at home that is the problem first glance?
There's absolutely no chemistry with this team. I think we've heard a lot of people say they need, you know, to play, be better on defense, which is true, but they've never been a defensive team. Even when they won a championship, they weren't a defensive team. A little bit better defensively, but not a defensive team. And they're not hitting shots, and I think just the biggest reason is there's no chemistry. There were a few times, I think we saw Saturday, between Isaiah Thomas and LeBron James, where they weren't sure what the other person was going to do, and what it led to is kind of standing around. And that's not good for any offense in the NBA, especially not one that's struggling. So there's just a lack of chemistry right now, and I don't think their issues, you know, have anything to do with talent or ability. I think it has everything to do with, you know, personalities, and they're all kind of trying to find their way right now.
Let me ask you this. One thing I'm noticing a lot, and I don't know if you're noticing it as well, when Tristan Thompson returned from injury, he was inserted back into the second unit, but it just seems like he's not fitting there. Do you feel like there's a spot right now for Tristan on this team, and is it just a matter of him still trying to get his legs back under him after that injury?
Well, Tristan's always going to give you effort, and he still has. You know, he's rebounding. He's never been a scorer. So Tristan's kind of been Tristan. He doesn't really touch the ball as much, and again, he's working with new point guards on that second unit now that Derrick Rose is kind of getting in there. So he's out there giving effort. I don't see Tristan as a problem. I know a lot of people have talked about trading him, which obviously he is a commodity. He does, you know, have some value. His contract isn't bad. So he is someone that the Cavs may consider trading. But I don't look at Tristan as him being the reason that things were thrown off. I think Isaiah Thomas coming into the lineup kind of threw things off a lot more than Tristan did, because Tristan's an energy guy. He runs around, sets screens and rebounds, and he's actually still doing that. It's just that we don't quite recognize it, and it's easy to overlook now. But Tristan's still being the same Tristan.
We can talk a little bit about Tristan later. I do want to touch on Isaiah Thomas now for a minute. You mentioned he's just now getting into the fold, 7 games. He's averaging 16 points a game and 3.6 assists, so not too bad on the stat sheet. He's on that minutes restriction still. He's starting to get more minutes as we keep on going. What are you seeing, and you brought up a little bit on the defensive end, but what are you seeing, your early assessment, so to speak, of IT's play right now? And do you feel that he fits with this team? Because obviously there's a very big change in style of play from Kyrie Irving of last year and now Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, well, Isaiah right now, I think he's still trying to get his rhythm, you know, still trying to get comfortable and get back into the flow of playing in the NBA, you know, not playing basketball for 7 months, and then you're put on a championship, a team with championship expectations, I guess I should say, and everyone wants it now. They want him to score 30 points, you know, every game when he steps out there and be that MVP candidate that he was last year before the injury. That's just not reality. Isaiah's the one guy that it's a little hard for me to hold him accountable because I understand that, like I said, he's just coming back from this injury. And you see glimpses. You see glimpses where you go, man, this guy can fill it up if he gets in that rhythm. The Cavaliers will have that second, you know, explosive scoring option that they need, and they need it to be successful. So I still think Isaiah is going to take him some time. The reason he doesn't fit, in my opinion, is they just don't know how to play with him yet. It's funny when you watch him and Jay Crowder on the floor. Sometimes they'll go a little two-man game. Actually, Crowder looks better, and Crowder seems to play, and that's because they're familiar with each other. Crowder's play improves just because of familiarity. So I think that's his biggest issue, but again, I don't think it's ability. I don't think it's scheme. I think it has everything to do with personalities and egos and guys just not being able to set their agendas aside right now and focus on the same goal.
Did you make anything of that, not really Twitter exchange, but Isaiah Thomas went out the other day and said something about, you know, how teams and good teams don't let bad stretches hold them down for long and we're going to get it right. And basically just kind of went out and said that everybody's just doesn't have their head in the right place, like you're mentioning. Dwayne Wade kind of combated with a subtle tweet but didn't tag anybody, and people made assumptions about Isaiah. Do you feel like maybe Isaiah has his head maybe in a bunch of other places? He has that, the tweets, he has the uninterrupted documentary, the mini documentary, and he just has a bunch of stuff going on before he even stepped onto the floor as a Cavalier.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the like shows and like the uninterrupted and stuff like that, a lot of those things, I mean, they've been recorded months and months ago, you know, and they've like, I don't think that has anything to do with what's on his plate right now. You know, that stuff was shot a long time ago. I do think his mind is on, I want a big contract, I want a max contract, so he's kind of putting even more pressure on himself. Saw Dwayne Wade's tweet. I think guys right now, they may think, you know, like they're kind of talking to their teammates, but I think they're also talking to themselves. You know, with Dwayne Wade's tweet about, if you're looking, you know, for someone, I'm paraphrasing, some type of change, start in the mirror. And I think everybody needs to do that. Wade actually has been, I think, a really good part of this team, as somebody that's been very level-headed through all of this. He's also someone that can get through to LeBron, and I'm hoping that that'll happen. I just think it's crazy because this team has so much talent, but right now they can't put it together just because they're all on their own page instead of being on the same page.
It's no secret this team hates January. Now, this is the fourth January they've been since LeBron's came back. Is this the worst a team has seemed mentally, not even just physically, because they are in a bad stretch on the court, but does it just seem like they're off, the most off they've been probably since LeBron's return?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, this is as bad as it can get, and I say that and watch another story come out tomorrow or something like that. But, yeah, this is the worst we've seen it since LeBron has returned. And, you know, ultimately, listen, too much is given, much is expected, and he's one of the greatest basketball players to ever play. So he's going to have to lead this team, and not so much with scoring the basketball and all that. Yeah, he's going to have to do that, but he's going to have to lead them mentally and show them, you know, that they can overcome this. Because if they see him walking around with an attitude or with his head down, then naturally everyone else is going to follow suit. But if he shows the team that, hey, I'm not going to let this get me down and I'm going to elevate everybody else's game, they can get out of this. But it's going to take LeBron to just kind of, you know, extend and improve his leadership a little bit. Not saying he's a bad leader, but it's just another point in his career where he has to take it up a notch to really prove and show his greatness.
The Cavs ran into a big issue, Emmett, on Saturday against OKC. They dropped 124 and lost by 24 because they gave up 148. They're 1-4 if you're counting the upper echelon of the league: Golden State, Boston, Houston, and OKC. They're 1-4 against those teams this year. At any point during this early part of the season, if we want to call it that, do these losses kind of concern you that maybe Cleveland is running into problems, and this could be a legitimate concern come, you know, April, May, June even?
You know, for a long time I haven't been concerned, but I just don't know if they can fix it. You know, I don't want to be the guy to hit their panic button and go, oh my God, this is it's over, because I don't believe that to be the case. They're still extremely talented. They're really deep. They just don't have guys performing up to their ability right now and up to their potential. So I'm not hitting the panic button quite yet. It is an eye-opener, though, when you go like, wow, man, the Cavs are getting blown out. And not so much the Thunder. The Thunder, to me, was the perfect storm. It kind of was the last straw. Kevin Love leaving with being, you know, being sick and all of that stuff. I was really shocked just when they got blown out twice earlier, you know, a couple weeks ago with Minnesota and Toronto. That really blew my mind there. And for it to happen the way it did so close together, they're in a tough stretch. They're in a tough stretch, and hopefully they can get out of it. They have the ability to. I just don't know if it's going to happen.
Is tonight against San Antonio, if you're listening now, Tuesday night against San Antonio, is this kind of a good setting and maybe a good game to get back on the winning track? Because you have Kawhi Leonard. He's having a little bit of a riff with the Spurs organization over his injury. The Spurs are quietly still doing their thing, but they're not as impressive as they have been as years past. Do you think this might be a game where the Cavs can really get a statement win over a team that maybe looks good on paper right now but are having their own sort of problems?
Well, the Cavs just need a win. It doesn't really matter who it comes against. You know, if it comes against the Spurs and people will go, yeah, they won, but it wasn't against Kawhi. They just need a win. They need to get back to winning way just to prove to themselves, okay, we can do this, and then you build off of that. And right now they have nothing to build off of because nothing seems to be working, and that they're really quick to point the finger. You know, I think that's what's going on. If there's a breakdown defensively, instead of moving on to the next play, everyone's focused on, no, you blew this assignment and you should have did that. No, you should have rotated, instead of moving on to the next play. And that happens when things are going extremely bad, like they are for the Cavs now. So they just need a win of any kind, and they can get one tonight. I mean, they're on the road, and I don't care who Greg Popovich has on the floor. They're typically pretty good. So if they can get a win tonight, it'll be great for them. And the great thing about the Cavs, they roll off five in a row. Everybody's going to go there. They'll win the Eastern Conference Championship again. That's just the way it goes with the Cavs. We see it every January. This is a unique January, though.
Absolutely. Adding to that unique January, yesterday a report came out late last night from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN that Kevin Love obviously left Saturday's game due to his sickness. The team had a meeting on Monday. It got emotional and even raise some questions, and if Love's illness that did take him out of the game early after only playing 3 minutes was legitimate. Does this concern you at all? Because this was the only year where Kevin Love really wasn't under fire. It was, man, Kevin Love's the second option. He's doing great with Kyrie's absence, and you know he's really starting to come into his own, and now it's, well, let's blame Kevin again.
Yeah, I am. Actually, I'm pretty disappointed in that, you know, because Kevin has always been the whipping boy here for the Cavs, and this year he was quietly putting up 20 and 10 and, you know, just having a really solid year. And then they hit this rough patch, and now all of a sudden it's, hey, everybody, let's meet and call out Kev. And I don't believe a guy would just quit. I don't believe anybody would just quit. And, you know, Kevin, I've never known Kevin Love to be, you know, kind of guy that'll just take – yeah, just tap out and go, I don't feel like playing today. Not that I know him extremely well, but, you know, being around him for the past few years, I just don't get that vibe from him. So I was disappointed to hear that the team decided to have this meeting all to call out Kevin Love when I think they have a lot more issues. I think Kevin is the least of their problems. So I was pretty disappointed to hear what happened the other day.
Does this mean, on a lighter note, that Kevin Love is now out of all the team photos from now on? Because he worked for a few years to get into the team photos.
maybe. You know, and I think Kevin is one of those guys, and I think Cavalier fans and maybe even his teammates will realize this when this thing is all over, that, man, you miss a guy like that because he shows up. He doesn't, like, you never see Kevin complaining. You never see him with an issue. He comes and he rebounds and he scores. And right now he's guarding centers, and he should not be doing that, but he does it because that's what the team asked him to do. He doesn't complain about it. And I just think that's something that these guys could have a little more appreciation for than it seems as though they do.
You bring up Love guarding centers, which will segue into my next question here. Deadline, the trade deadline coming up next month. The Cavs are obviously have their hands full in a bunch, or hands in rather, a bunch of trade talks. You know, you have DeAndre Jordan over here, you have Kemba Walker, a bunch of swirling names. Which one would make the most sense to you in a trade package?
You know what? I don't think there's anyone really available. You don't want to trade a short guard for another short guard. I like Kemba and everything, but part of the reason that Isaiah has struggled, is because of his size, because he's small. So I like Kemba, but I wouldn't, move heaven and earth to try and get him. And I just don't think there's anyone else that is available that can really make an impact. You hear DeMarcus Cousins' name thrown out there. That's not going to happen from everything that I've heard, that they want to keep that team together in New Orleans. The DeAndre Jordan. Yeah, what has DeAndre Jordan ever done against the Golden State Warriors? Nothing. They lose. They get sent home. So I don't know how adding him would drastically change the outcome for this team. So that's where I think they're in the most trouble, is that a huge move just isn't there. Now, there's a guy like Ken Bazemore that won't cost you a lot. He can guard twos and threes and actually even fours in some cases. So I would like to see them add a piece like him. And it might be an underrated piece, kind of like Kyle Korver was. When Korver got traded to the Cavaliers, it wasn't viewed as a big mega deal. It was like, oh, okay, yeah, they got Kevin Love. And I think if you bring a guy like Ken Bazemore in, you might have the same reaction, but you'll actually get more out of it, especially on the defensive end, than what else is available out there.
That's an interesting name, actually. I haven't heard Bazemore in a lot of rumors, but it would make a lot of sense. He's actually one of the better younger defenders in the league. And actually, if you listen to any of the road trip and stuff, he worked hand-in-hand with R.J., Richard Jefferson, back. And R.J. talked a lot about it when he was in Cleveland, about how Ken Bazemore is actually one of the more promising players in the league. It would make a lot of sense. It would help out your wing depth and kind of take a little bit of pressure off guys like Crowder, Korver at points in time, and even Wade at a point, because Wade's really manning the ship in that second unit.
Yeah, even LeBron, even defensively, Now you can have LeBron just kind of play free safety. You can almost make LeBron guard the center, all teams, and let him leak off and help at the rim and be a rim defender. So I just think it gives the Cavaliers a little more flexibility, and he's just been, a solid player, a solid pro for many years. So I think he could help this team, but I don't think that would solve all of their problems. I think that would help improve the squad, but everything that they need to fix to get out of this, again, it's all about personalities and relationships with guys in the locker room. They got to work that out first.
Let me ask you this. You keep bringing up talent and how much talent this team does have, and it has a lot of talent. Does it have, if it gets it all, if this team gets it together, the guys figure out the chemistry issues and all of that, and get it together on the court, are they capable of the roster constructed, and maybe if they add a Bazemore of sorts, are they able to defeat a Golden State Warriors in a 7-game series come June?
I think so. It'd take a lot, but look at the 2 games they played this year. Those weren't blowout losses by any stretch. And I think what we see now is the Cavaliers' depth. That second unit is playing really well. And actually, the second unit is usually the unit to get the Cavs back in the games, and then they bring the starters back in, and that's when the deficit increases. So that is one of the reasons why I feel like the Cavaliers, if they do get everything together, can beat the Golden State Warriors, because they're so much deeper. They're deeper than the Warriors. Now, top end, they're not better than the Warriors at all. I mean, you got 2 MVPs and 2 other All-Stars out there on the floor for Golden State. But when they go to the bench, I think the Cavaliers are far better than the Golden State Warriors. So starters got to get their stuff together, and they come together as a team. The season isn't over quite yet, but they got a lot of work to do.
One more for you, Emmett. On a coaching note here, David Fizdale has been off of a sideline for a minute now. The Bucks just fired Jason Kidd yesterday. Ty Lue has kind of been in a, I don't want to call it a hot seat, but it's kind of getting warmer as the seconds go by. I'm not suggesting they fire Ty Lue, but would you be in favor of them bringing Fizdale in maybe as an assistant coach because of the familiarity with LeBron and Wade?
I think if they did that in the middle of the year, that just create more problems.
Okay.
That's the situation where I know LeBron loves Fizz, and I think he'd be excited. You know, let's say this thing all goes down the drain, they fire Ty Lue and hire Fizdale, then I think that helps, and you might be able to retain LeBron. But you can't bring a former head coach in halfway through the season, because then you're telling everybody that you really don't believe in Ty Lue, because that is pretty much unprecedented to, you know, bring a former head coach in as an assistant in the middle of the year. So I don't think that would be a good move if they did it, but he's definitely a guy that you keep on your radar just in case you do end up getting rid of Ty Lue.
Absolutely. Emmett, I appreciate the time. Where can people find you on the Twitter sphere, and what are you doing?
Yeah, you can always find me at egoldie80 on Twitter, and you can also stream the show on the ESPN app from 3 to 5 Monday through Friday.
Emmett, I appreciate that. That's Emmett Golden of ESPN 850 WKNR. Appreciate the time, Emmett. We'll catch up soon.
Hey, anytime, man. Thanks for having me.